All right, sweet. We are live. So welcome back everyone to the Fit Take with Joey Gass podcast. So we have a special guest today, actually, with today's episode, which is the first guest of 2024, which is really exciting.
I feel
And
honored.
yeah, and to be honest, you might be the first guest of 2023, other than I've had like clients on where we've done like client interviews, but I don't even know if I've had anybody else that was not a client on as a guest in 2023 even. So you might be like the first guest in over a year, which is,
I love that.
yeah, which is exciting. So we have Kat, and you just got married not that long ago. So remind me again
Did.
what your updated last name is then.
It's Harkins, but I have not changed any paperwork yet.
Gotcha.
Harkins.
I don't blame you. Like that process is kind of a pain, especially like when my wife and I got married, she had to get a new passport and all that stuff.
That's why I haven't changed it because I have two trips. I have one for Bali and I have one for Grand Cayman, and I booked them under my other last name. So I'm like, I'm not dealing with that mess.
Yeah.
So it'll get changed maybe in May.
That's funny. Understandable for sure. So where, and this might be a dumb question, where even is Bali? Like, I'm not even familiar with that.
Indonesia.
Wow.
Yeah.
So what made you choose that trip, or like how did you even like find that place? 'Cause like I said, I've never even heard of it.
I don't even know. My friends and I were talking, and it's always been like a bucket list of like, this looks really freaking cool. It's kind of like jungle and beach vibes, and it's really not very expensive to go there. There's lots of good food, there's lots of good excursions and things like that. So it was my goal to go to Bali before I turned 30. So I am going to Bali in March with two of my best friends. So I'm really excited about that.
Is that because once you turn 30, everything just goes downhill from there, or
Yep. I
what?
was like, that is like one of my bucket list things to do. And I'm like, all right, well, I don't know if traveling to Bali with a child would be realistic if I want to have kids in the next few years. We'll see. But
Yeah. So is that the plan? Like you guys have been talking about that and everything, and
Hopefully that's in the next year or so. So we got married in September. We bought our house last year. All of the things happened last year. It was a very stressful year. It was all good stuff, but big things. And then, next year we'll see what's in store.
yeah, that's cool. Probably a good idea to go before you guys end up having kids because, like my wife and I, we went on a vacation to Punta Cana, shortly before, like she got pregnant and everything. And we went on a couple of vacations after that. And it's just different vacationing with, a 1-year-old, versus, not and just adults,
And this is, I think it's the first flight is 19 hours.
Oh my
So
gosh.
I don't think that would be friendly with
No. Oh man,
a
I could not
child.
imagine there. I was wondering how long the flights would be. I couldn't imagine. We
That's
went on a vacation recently, just like a couple weeks ago, and the flights were like, I think the longest was like 4 hours. And he actually did really well. Like we were really thankful for how he did on the flights, but I couldn't imagine that long. And like my wife and I, we went to Africa back in like 2017, and our flight was like 16 hours, and we were talking like we could not imagine having like a 1-year-old or a kid on a 16-hour flight. So
No, not unless you're in
yeah.
like first class with a whole booth or something.
Yeah, even then it's like,
It's a
geez, man,
lot.
it's a
Yeah, I think
long time.
the whole trip is like 38 hours, 38
Wow.
of travel. So it's on the other side of the world. I'm very excited to go. I'm not excited about the plane.
Yeah, but I'm sure it'll be worth it. Like going to Africa, especially the safari that we went on, like it was 100%, in my opinion, worth the flight. Like it was so cool. But
Sounds cool. That sounds like a fun trip for sure.
yeah, it was awesome. Cool. So like I said, we have Kat. She is a registered dietitian as well. And we actually met in person once. It was at Scottsdale, I believe.
Yeah, Arizona.
Yeah, so we met there in person, which is kind of cool. I don't know. I've just followed your content too, like throughout this period, and I just really vibe with everything that you, you know, talk about and everything. So I wanted to have you on.
Awesome.
So
I love it.
Yeah. So go ahead and kind of tell the audience a little bit about yourself, a little bit of background, who you are, any fun facts, anything you want to share, and all that.
Okay. So I am Kat. I am a registered dietitian, like Joey said. I have been coaching online for my own business for about like 2.5 years now, I'm going on year three. But before that, I did a clinical, like every dietitian, Joey. I don't think you did clinical, but I did.
Well, I didn't work. I did.
Yeah.
You mean like the internship or working in clinical?
Working.
Oh yeah. No, I didn't work there.
You were like, I'm not doing it. Yeah. So I did clinical for 3 years and then I got into private practice for about 2 years and now I have my own business. So I mainly work with women like that want to really get out of that never ending diet cycle, that mindset of less food, more cardio is the mindset. We don't want to be there anymore. And we want to restore our relationship with food and really get out of that diet culture and like that mentality of good and bad foods and just teach you how to live a very balanced life. You can still get results and eat the food you want to eat. So I am going to talk a little bit today about how I got in my position and what I did throughout my fitness journey, which I did compete in bodybuilding. And that journey was very eye-opening. I don't regret it, but there's a lot of misconceptions around that. So I'm excited to dive into that. But other than that, I love to travel. As you guys hear, I'm going to Bali. I'm going to Grand Cayman. I love going to the islands. I love traveling. I'm recently married. We just got our dog. So all the fun things in that sense. But yeah, what else did you ask me? I think that was, did I wrap it up pretty good?
Yeah, no, I think that was good and gave us a good introduction there. So yeah, I mean, a big part of why I wanted to have Kat on too was to talk about her experience with competing, because she made a post. This was probably almost a month ago now, but it like caught my eye when I was looking at it, and it was just about like how competing, how like maintaining that lean body, you know, is not realistic and all the downsides of it. So we'll get into details, you know, as we get going, but I wanted to really have her on here and talk about that, because that's an experience that I don't have. I've never competed in bodybuilding or like physique or any of those other like classifications or divisions. And I don't have experience myself of getting to like extremely lean levels. So I think it's always really helpful to like get a perspective from somebody else who's experienced something that you haven't. So you competed in bodybuilding, but let's like backtrack a little bit. And like, how did you even get into kind of the fitness realm or nutrition realm in general? Like when did that kind of start?
Yeah, I feel like this is so common with like a lot of the women, I almost said girls, women that are my age or older. And I feel like it's such a family cycle, which is very interesting. Like if you ask probably any of your clients, or if I ask any of my clients, we had some sort of influence getting into the gym or diet culture from our moms or whoever we lived with, our aunts, grandmothers, whatever. So I actually got into it all because my mom was so heavily involved and she wanted to kind of get back into the gym. And I used to like go to her workout classes when I was like young, like six, just watching and observing. So I feel like I was always in that environment. And then once my mom started working out with me and we were doing that together, that's when everything kind of started. I was overweight in high school. I would say I had no idea about food and what to eat and how to eat. So I started working with a trainer with my mom, and she did like all of these tests on me and gave me like this list of food that this I can eat and this I can't. And I don't even know what it was. It was like, she took my body fat and sent it all. I don't know. It was weird. So I saw like how much you can really do with nutrition, even if that, looking back, probably wasn't the right information. That kind of got my wheels turning. And I loved being in the gym. I loved lifting weights right away because it wasn't just going on the treadmill and doing cardio. And it wasn't just like sweating doing a HIIT class. Like I was in the gym lifting and I loved it. And no one else was really doing that, really. So that like kind of started my interest. And then I always knew I wanted to do something to help other people. I thought I would be into nursing. But as I started looking, I was like, oh, dietitian, that sounds cool. And I like, literally, that was my thought process. I was like, that sounds like a cool thing to be. So I did more research and I was like, all right. And I went to IUP for undergrad and now I'm here.
Yeah. So I feel like whenever I have these conversations with dietitians, or even like nutrition and fitness coaches in general, usually it's like one of two reasons why they get started with this. One is like a positive association with it. Like, you know, you had a role model that showed you how to like work out or eat well, and then you became interested there. Or it was like a negative association where maybe you grew up with unhealthy parents or you grew up with unhealthy habits. And it seems like yours was like a positive experience. Like, you know, your mom showing you how to work out and falling in love with the gym that way.
Yeah. I feel like looking back, what she was doing in terms of diet, like she was always on some sort of diet. Like South Beach was very popular, Isogenics. So she was in the gym, but we were both doing the same things. I was like, oh, that just sounds like what we should be doing is, you know, fasting for the entire day and eating 3 almonds every 2 hours. Like, that sounds great. So I think she like had very good intentions with it. And like, that's just what people knew, I think, at that time was like Isogenics, Avicare?
Sounds familiar.
South Beach, like that's just, those were just common things in my household. And I think I didn't know it wasn't good until I'm like really into my career now and looking back at like, all right, that probably started some really bad food thoughts and some unhealthy relationships with food and my body and just the way other people around you in general talk about their body. And like my trainer, my mom would like literally pinch and whatever they could. And, you know, my mom at that time had a literally washboard 6-pack abs. So it was like, oh my God, well, if that's what you think about yourself, like, what are people thinking about me? You know? So it was positive at the time. I didn't notice how negative it affected me until I was in probably after college, even, you know, like it's just, that's what you just think is normal until you educate yourself further.
Gotcha. So it sounds like it was maybe a mix of both, like positive association with just like seeing your mom working out and be like, okay, working out is good, I'm going to do that. But also some negative aspects in there of like being hyper-focused on like how much body fat you have. And also like these like arbitrary food rules that you've obviously learned now, like are not true. Right. And maybe the hyper-fixation on like your body in general, especially at that age, because I believe you said like you were younger when you first got introduced to that. So a little bit of both there, like it sounds like a positive influence as far as like lifting weights and working out, but some negative aspects of it too.
Yeah, like negative food thoughts and relationship with food and body image and stuff. But like I said, I really feel like that time frame, everyone you talk to, like my friends were doing the Special K diet. Do you remember that?
I think I do remember that. I know,
like,
one,
you literally just eat Special K cereal all day. Like, what a great marketing scheme.
Yeah, I know, like the big thing that I remember growing up, like in like middle school and high school, was like Slim Fast. Like, I know Slim Fast was like huge. And I had like family members that did that too.
Yeah. Ours, the big one for us was the South Beach, which is like no carbs, and Isogenics. Isogenics was the big one in our family.
It's funny how a lot of these diets, like, they're all the same, but they just like get new names and like recycled. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, you said South Beach was like low carb, which could be like paleo, but then that turns into keto, and it's like they're all basically the same thing.
Exactly.
So you got into like fitness and working out and nutrition in that realm. So how did you get into like competing specifically? Like, did you, I don't know, follow somebody on social media that you looked up to that competed and it made you want to do it, but, or like maybe your mom competed at some point? Like, how did you get into that realm?
Yeah, so I actually went to the Arnold Classic. When was that? Like 2019, right before the year before COVID. So 20 or 2018, whatever. One of those years I went to the Arnold and I was like, "Oh my God, like this is so cool." And I was like watching the girls on stage and I was like, how do you even do that?" And I was like, "I feel like I could do that." I was like, "I feel like I could look like that if I 'cause I was already in the gym, like I was doing all of the things. I was pretty I don't want to say like my leanest, but I was always at a good weight. I was like, it probably wouldn't take too much to do it. I was very wrong. So I don't know. That kind of like sparked my interest. And then there were one or two other girls at the gym I was going to that were competing. And I was like, oh my God, like they look so like in it. Like they are not getting off. Like this is their life. And like, it does become your life. So I just was very motivated by the other two girls I was seeing doing it and getting on stage and just being so dedicated to that, you know. So I was like, I want to try it. Let me see what happens. So I met with my first coach and she's like, all right, let's go. And I prepped for probably a year and then COVID happened. So I was in prep for an entire year. And 3 weeks out from my show, I was there. They shut down the world and I was ready to get on stage. So I had to like reverse diet myself and get out of that. And it was very hard. I couldn't go to the gym. The gyms were closed. So that started the whole thing. And then I just kind of like stayed in prep, honestly. And looking back, I stayed in that prep life for probably another year, a year and a half even. So people don't understand how much of a stress that is to your body and how much damage that can do. So, you know, by the end of everything, I was ready to like just be done with the whole thing. So it was a great experience, but that's kind of how I got into it from like the Arnold. I started prepping and then COVID happened and then I got a new coach and we got on the stage. It just took a little bit of time.
Yeah, no, that is insane. Thinking about like prepping for a year and just like quick question, were you in like a dieting phase, like fat loss phase that whole year then?
Per my coach, no. Per me, yes. I was eating start of prep 1500 calories. My baseline right now is probably 2000. So I was definitely in a deficit, 1500 calories from the start. That was my high and it went down from there. And when I say down 600 calories, we're talking no carbs. So like and that is not what every single person who competes does, but that's what my coach was telling me to do. And when you're in it and you're like, I will literally lick the ground if you tell me to, like you listen to your coach when you're prepping, like you don't, like it's like you do not want to mess up anything. So you put all of your trust in someone. And like even as a dietitian, I wasn't at that time. Yes, I was I'm lying. Even as a dietitian, I knew that was not good for me at all. And I was in that for an extended period of time between 800 and 600, max 1200 calories. So, you know, that was just so mentally and physically negative for my body in general. So it was quite an experience.
Yeah, so for a whole year eating 1500 calories at the most and getting down to 600, and then like, I mean, 3 weeks out, you're probably like the lowest body fat percentage almost that you're going to be the whole entire time. And then COVID happened, and like
Gym shut down, everything. Oh, done.
I couldn't imagine like the mental strain of just like, wow, like now what am I going to do? Because now I'm this lean and like, you know, when it comes to getting competition lean like that, I mean, it seems like a year prep is already like a pretty long period of time to be in like a deficit straight. But now you're like w at that point where you're so lean, where you should be you know, gaining body fat sooner rather than later. And now you don't know when the competition is going to be rescheduled, I'm assuming. And like,
right.
do I try to maintain this low body fat percentage for like a couple of months then? Like, I'm sure that was really hard on like you, and also probably your coach too, like not knowing what to do with you. Like, do we try to keep, you know, your calories low or reverse diet? Yeah. Like,
And
so,
I took it into my own hands a little bit, because I don't really think she knew what to do with me. And I was like, I cannot stay here. So I slowly started adding calories back. And she was literally sneaking me into the gym through the back. Like, I felt like I was breaking the law. It was actually really funny looking back. She would make me park in the back and go through this door. I had to train with the lights off because she's like, I was doing 3 hours of cardio a day and like at least an hour of strength training. So she's like, you got to get in here. I did. So we kept at it a little bit, but then I was terrified to go out. I think everyone was at one point. I was like, I'm not going to the gym if you're letting other people in the gym. So yeah, then I like literally bought cardio equipment off of Facebook Marketplace and like made a very makeshift gym. I was like lifting buckets. I was crazy.
Oh my gosh. Well, also too, like if you're that lean and eating that few of calories, like your immune system is definitely hindered a little bit too. It's funny you mentioned buckets. Yeah. Like I was lifting in my in-laws, like they have this big garage back by this building that they own, and I was doing squats and like I would stack up these like big buckets of paint or cans of paint on top of each other to like put the barbell on there and put weight so I could do like barbell squats because there was no rack and it was just like probably not safe, but we made it happen.
It was the same thing. It was crazy. I like got a makeshift, like it was like a steel bar and I put paint buckets on it to do rows.
I mean, it was ridiculous. Sometimes you got to get creative, but
it worked.
So you decided to reverse diet. So remind me again, I can't remember if you mentioned this. How long was it until like your competition got canceled to when it actually got like rescheduled and you actually competed then?
It was like over a year. It was a year. I was supposed to compete in April, got canceled. And then my show I actually did was in April. So it was another year of prep.
Wow.
So yeah, I started with a different coach who hopefully would feed me a little bit more food before dropping back down. So I started with him then in August, I believe. I kind of took myself through my own reverse diet. I think I only reversed up to like 1500 though, because I was like, oh my God, I can't go higher than that. That's what I've been eating, you know? So I got to that range. I reached out and he was like, we're bumping you up. So then I'm like, as I'm doing all of this, I'm especially right when I worked with him, he was like, get your calories up. I gained weight so quickly. So then I got really nervous with everything, like any girl would. But he bumped me up to like, even now it was like 18 or 1900 calories, to get me some muscle mass back and to fill out a little bit. So then I did get up till probably like 1900, and then I was at like my heaviest weight. And then went back into my deficit, and that was probably another 6 months of that. Yeah.
Got it. So tell me like what kind of extreme things or what kind of things did you do to get that lean for your competition? Other than like, obviously, like you mentioned, going down to 600 calories per day, which is crazy, right? But what other things, like maybe exercise wise or other things did you do that were like more extreme that like you didn't have to do or weren't doing just through your like normal nutrition and fitness?
Yeah. Well, I think people have this expectation, maybe not even with bodybuilding, just they want to, like a lot of the women we work with want to be lean and they want to see their abs. And even that, like that, you need to change your entire life to achieve that. And it's literally like nearly impossible to maintain that forever without having some sort of restriction involved. So when I was competing, what I was doing is probably, and well, it depended. It got more as it got closer. So within like that 3 months of me getting on stage, I was doing cardio like between 2 to 3 hours a day, every day, no breaks, fasted cardio up at 5 a.m. before work, putting the sweatband on, putting it on my thighs, like Saran wrap, all of the things, taking like these crazy pills. I don't even know what I was taking, honestly. My coach told me to take it, so I did. I don't even know. And then so I would do like 2 to 3 hours of fasted car well, of cardio in general. I'd train probably 1 to 1.5 hours strength training every day. I had the hardest part of all this. That's easy. The hardest part is posing. Like you see those girls getting on stage and it looks so easy for them to hit those posts. That itself was a workout, and that is something on top of everything else. You're doing 2 to 3 hours of cardio, you're training 1 hour, then you're going and doing posing for 1 hour. Like it was literally a job to do that. And like prepping, I was only eating, I'm not kidding you, at the end of this, towards the end of this goal, I was eating chicken and asparagus, and that was literally it, 6 times a day. So, and like I said, like everyone has a different journey with this, but that was mine, and it was awful. I like could not even think about having a tablespoon of peanut butter. Like going out to eat was not even like, don't even bring that up. Going to family dinner, I was bringing my Tupperware and eating chicken and asparagus on Easter. Like, so it was like very draining in that way. It just became your life. Like, that was the only thing you think about. You do not have any other activities going on in your life. You can't think about going on vacation or traveling. You can't be, going out to dinner, any date nights. Like, it really does take like a mental toll, because it's like you don't even want to do anything because you can't participate with any of it. So everything's like really food involved. And just like physically, you're just exhausted. So you're in bed anyway by 8 o'clock every night. So it was just a lot, honestly, like mentally. And then getting to that physique and that body that you're like so excited for, like that post I did the other day, or I posted another one on my show day. And like that morning when I was getting on stage, I was like, oh my God, like I am not putting this bikini on. I'm so like bloated and I feel like I'm not lean enough and I'm like picking at my shoulders. Like that was the meanest I've ever been to myself when I was like at my lowest body fat. It still wasn't good enough, So people have this idea that when you get there, you're going to be happy and you're going to be confident and you're going to feel amazing. And it's like, it strips all of that because it's your expectations and what you're looking at. Like it doesn't match. It's very crazy what our brain does to us, and like the body image and body dysmorphia that comes with that is beyond real. So yeah, I went down a little rabbit hole. Sorry.
No, that was great. There's a lot of really good points in there that I'm gonna want to bring up, but obviously, like, super extreme stuff, right? Like, getting down to that level of leanness really takes over like your whole entire life. And you have to sacrifice, birthday celebrations, holidays, you have to sacrifice travel, like you said. And it just takes over everything. And then also the time commitment too of doing 2 to 3 hours of cardio every single day on top of your weight training, and then the posing, which, yeah, I mean, posing, I'm sure you spent, I don't know how long, did you say like 1 hour a day posing or something like that?
At least 1 hour a day. Yeah, you were always posing. I was walking around my house in like my shoes because I couldn't walk in the shoes. I'm like, oh my God. That was crazy. Yeah. But like the posing is honestly, that's the hardest part, in my opinion.
Yeah, because you're
But
just standing there, just like flexing your muscles the whole time, right? Because you want to like be able to make those pop when you're on stage.
awesome.
So it just takes over everything, right? And I know like some people might be listening to this and thinking, well, I don't want to get like stage lean. I just want to get like some abs, right? Or a six pack or whatever. Because a lot of the clients that I work with and a lot of the people listening are probably a little bit more general population, general fitness people, and women who just want to like get lean and get leaner and be toned. But like one thing you mentioned was even just like having abs, like it takes a lot more than what people think. And it's also a lot less sustainable than what people think too. So I don't know if I can definitely go down a rabbit hole there, but I don't know if there was anything more you want to elaborate before I kind of went in on that.
Yeah. I mean, well, one, we're talking to mainly women here too. And like that midsection, we're always going to have, like, it's protective for us. Like, we're meant to have a little bit of body fat and we're meant to have a little bit more body fat than men in general. And no one wants to hear that, but it's true. And like, to really, you know, get those visible abs that everyone wants so much, it is going to require the sacrifices. Like, if someone really it would come to me and say that, it's like, all right, then you probably can't drink any alcohol. We're definitely going into some sort of deficit and you do have to do some sort of cardio. Like it's not just going to magically happen, you know? But yeah, I do think it's harder to maintain. It's less food than you think probably. And it's great to get there, but then what happens after that? You know, like is it really worth that? Like, and maybe it is for you for the summer, if that's what you're thinking. And like a lot of ladies do think that, but also think about your life in the summer. You want to probably be having a few drinks and you probably want to be able to go out to eat and do the fun things that come at summertime. So it's like, what are you willing to sacrifice? You know?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think there's this like misconception of how achievable that is because of like, you know, social media and how easy it is to look on Instagram and see like a fitness model or a woman with actual like abs or with that kind of body you want that looks lean. And like, for one, you don't know like how this person feels on a day-to-day basis. Like you, when you were going through that, you know, prep, you probably posted, you know, I don't know, maybe not, but posted like some updates of like physique updates and things. And like people probably looked at that and, you know, if they haven't competed before, they probably looked at that and thought like, oh, like she must feel awesome. Like she looks great, right? She looks really lean in this. And they don't realize just how fatigued you are, how low energy you are all the time, how like you're probably thinking about food all the time and how you're like frustrated because you can't go out to dinner with friends or something, or you have to say no to social events because of that. They just don't see that side of it. So I think that's like one problem is then people not seeing that side. And I think another problem is people hate to admit this, but genetics plays a huge role in like what your body composition looks like and how lean you actually can get and like, you know, sustain that leanness. Like, and there's this like mentality in the fitness industry of like, you know, you just have to be disciplined and like, you know, you see someone with shredded abs and they must work really hard. But we all know people who like genetically naturally are just pretty lean and they really don't implement that much discipline. And some of them don't even really work out that consistently and they just kind of do whatever and they maintain a lean physique. Like genetics are at play when it comes to like how hard you experience hunger, but then also like body fat distribution too. Like some people store more body fat in their stomach. And if you store more body fat in that area, it's going to take longer for you to get leaner in that area then. And it might end up being unsustainable for you because of how low you have to eat. Also like not even body fat storage, but your proportions, if you have a shorter torso, like that body fat is not as spread out. So like your abs underneath aren't going to pop as much versus if you have like a very long torso. And so like all those things come into play. And sometimes you're just dealt a hand where if you want to maintain a six pack or get a six pack, you have to do some unsustainable stuff and you have to make a lot of sacrifices in your life. And other people, the ones you probably see blowing up on Instagram, they probably like I said, either one, feel miserable doing it, or maybe because of their genetics, they don't have to sacrifice as much to maintain that. So those are just some other thoughts that I had regarding that.
Yeah. And just like, you know, that's what it took, like, to get me down to that body fat. There was no other option. We were doing all of the cardio. I had to fit into that bikini. There was nothing else. I was like, you know, telling my coach, I'm like, oh my God, like, I don't know what to do. My posing coach is telling me I don't look right. And like, we're 6 weeks out. What do we do? All right, 800 calories. There you go. 2 more hours of cardio. And I was like, shit, okay. but you do it because it's like, oh my God, like there's so much pressure for that point. But I do also want to say, like, it comes with also, at least for me, it definitely came with a price. Like, right when I started, you know, compete, well, that, like, think I was in a crazy deficit for probably like 2 years, you know, and probably a little more because after the show, you know, I probably stuck to lower calories for a little bit of time because I was scared to increase right away. But like that, I truly, truly believe sparked my autoimmune disease that I currently have because of how stressed my body was, what I was putting it through. You know, all of my symptoms started around that time I was competing. And I really think like your body only has so much to push it. You know, you only have that much. And there are like, if you have an autoimmune disease, it's in your body, but it takes something really stressful to wake it up. And I think that's what woke up my autoimmune disease, unfortunately, and like caused a lot of issues. And now, you know, my body still remembers all of that stuff that I did. And like, if you are someone who has done something similar or something really restrictive in the past, it's your body remembers that, and it's going to take a little bit more to get there too. So you have to also think those abs that you got when you were 16 years old or 22 or whatever it is, your body doesn't function that same way. You know what I mean? So it does push, and you still need like that restriction and that discipline, and it might be way more than you're willing to give. And that's like, so okay. Like, you don't need to have a six pack all the time. So that was just like my other little tangent of like, it definitely caused some major, major issues in my body after I competed.
Yeah, for sure. Like, it plays a, or it takes a big toll on like your mental health and like your personal health, personal life health regarding like all the sacrifices you have to make, but also your physical health too, like yep. Under eating for that long of a period of time. And that's, I think, why too, like so many clients that probably you have that I have, like they've tried all these really extreme diets and they are dealing with some of these issues, or they're dealing with issues of like just feeling low fatigue all the time and having trouble losing body fat now. And it's because, like, you know, they've treated their body kind of like trash really for so long and not even realizing it because they thought that was what like they should be doing. So like you said, those physical stresses you put on your body add up, and they, you know, stay around for longer than, you know, what a lot of people think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I'm sure you have ladies that have crazy dieting history, very extreme, low, low calories. And then you tell them they have to eat more and they're like, what? I don't think that's right. And it's like a little bit, it's still for me too. Like, it is a little mind boggling to be like, oh my God, you need to eat for your body to function properly and for it to use the food you're giving it. You need to be eating an adequate amount of calories. And there's seasons also for everything. Like, you can be in that fat loss phase and you can get your abs for maybe a little bit of time, but also be okay with adding the food back in and your body being your baseline. Like, that's okay to have your normal weight be a weight that you're okay with, you know? Like, you can always play around with that, but you might not always maintain those abs, and that is okay. And I think people aren't okay with that reality. And I think people are also like that are in end of their 20s, middle of their 30s, even like their 40s or 50s. They're like, oh, well, in college, I like did this. And I'm like, you're not 22 anymore. Like, you don't have to look like you're 22. And I think that's something like so many people are comparing themselves to that picture of like you being 22 years old or 25 or whatever that is. So I think it's just making some little mindset shifts with that and like finding out why that look is so important to you to begin with.
So you were just talking about how so many women that, you know, you work with or talk with want to look like they did back in college. And, you know, when it's funny that you say that, because I've had conversations with women who have kind of said the same thing. And not saying that like getting back to that body in college is necessarily impossible, but think about how much your life and lifestyle has changed since then, right? Like if you're 22 in college, you know, you probably were probably walking around a lot more in between classes. So you're probably more active in that sense. You probably could go to the gym almost anytime you wanted, you know, maybe five times a week. You didn't have kids. You didn't have, you know, probably a spouse or, you know, husband or wife at that point. You like had the hours in your day to probably meal prep more or this or that. Cause like I look back at college and I thought I was busy then. And I'm like, you know, I'm way busier now that I have, you know, a kid and working, you know, full-time online business and stuff. So like your lifestyle is just so different. And unless you have a way to give up some of those things or make those sacrifices to live the same exact way you did back in college, then that's probably not going to happen. Right. So yeah, it's the people just like, they don't realize like the sacrifices you really have to make to get, you know, fitness model lean and then also like maintain it. And I'm not even talking like competition lean, but just like, okay, this person is a fitness person online and they look lean, they have abs. Like I want to look just like them. Like a lot of these people do this for a living too. So like their whole day and their whole life is devoted to looking camera ready, looking Instagram ready and all this stuff. Where you know, you're a full-time working mom of three, you know, have a partner, a spouse, and you want to travel, go on vacations, enjoy food, enjoy celebrations. Like this isn't your life. So you can't have the expectation that you'll be able to look like somebody who actually makes it their life.
And I think something you said was like, a lot of the women that I have, at least, you guys have had kids. Like that's a whole nother thing too. Like, I don't know. I mean, you not saying you can't get abs or you cannot get lean after you have kids, but your body definitely changes, you know, and not in a bad way, right? It's just like, it's not that the same exact body that had the same exact capabilities when you were 20, you know, in your 20s, maybe. So like your body's been through a lot. And like you're saying, you know, you have a life outside of just you now, and that's okay, you know, but it really like the sacrifice that comes with being leaner or having the six pack, that does require you to meal prep. It does require you to track your food. You know, it requires you to probably stop drinking a glass of wine every night because you're stressed, you know, and it requires you to manage your stress. Like there's so many different things and layers you need to work on. And if you're willing to do that, great. But also remember that the expectation to maintain that is probably not realistic unless you want to continue the lifestyle that you're starting with, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think something I wanted to also like bring up that you said was, you know, just talking about like the wine and giving that up and these changes, right? And I find like there's this talk in the fitness realm of, okay, like, and I've talked about this before where the phrase of like, oh, find something that fits your lifestyle and find something that fits your lifestyle to reach the goal you want. And which is true. Like we don't want something to be like totally extreme. Like if your lifestyle allows you to go to the gym 2 or 3 days a week, like you don't want to be on a plan that forces you to go 5 days. But at the same time, like you're starting this, you know, if you sign up with a coach or, you know, your fitness journey, you're starting it to make a change, which means if you want to change physically, you have to change your lifestyle in some way. So I don't know. Don't like my advice to somebody would be like, don't necessarily look for something that fits your lifestyle, because there's going to be aspects of your lifestyle that have to change, but find something that is maybe a small deviation from your current lifestyle that's going in the direction you want, and make that small change. And then once that small change becomes easy for you, or a habit, or then becomes your new lifestyle, then if you want to, you know, level up your results, then make another small change. But like, you can't have wine. Some people can get away with it because of genetics every night and be lean, but 90% of people can't. And you'll have to like give up that alcohol, or give up, you know, going out to dinner and eating bar food every day if you do want to like get that result.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think like your weekends too, of like, a lot of girls that I work with like to go out and drink on the weekends. It's like, and they're asking me why they're not losing weight. I'm like, you can't have, I see your Instagram stories. You cannot have eight Jack and Cokes and expect the scale to change. So like, I don't know, that might just be some of my clients, but that's just a realistic expectation for anyone. Like, you have to, like, if going out every single weekend and changing like alcohol or date nights and things like that, like if that's part of your life and you don't want to change it, there's only so much we can do as coaches. Like, we're not going to just put you on 600 calories a day and say, all right, you can make up for it on the weekend. At least I will not do that. I know you won't either, Joey. But, right. You know, like, there has to be give and take. And you sign up with a coach because you want to change something, you know, and you're willing to make the change. So you have to just rewire those expectations a little bit.
Right. Something that's big that I talk about with my clients is making sure their expectations line, or the actions make align with their expectations. So if your actions are, like you said, you know, getting drunk every single weekend, having multiple drinks, 5-6+ drinks, you know, Friday and Saturday night, and you're expecting to get like beach body ready, like, you know, that's another kind of rabbit hole we can go down with that term. But what people view in their minds as beach body ready, like, it's probably going to be a problem. It's probably not going to work out, right? Because your expectation is you're going to be get really lean, but your actions are telling you, or telling us, that like, that's not what you actually want to prioritize. So have to make sure those things align. And one thing that I also wanted to bring up that you mentioned was about when you got lean, even like in competition, you still viewed your body as, oh, there's too much body fat, or I'm too bloated in this. And then something else I wanted to bring up is just the aspect of like body image and how we think getting leaner or losing fat is going, like, we feel like we're going to reach this part where we are 100% confident with our body all the time. And my opinion, that's not the case. So would love to hear like just your thoughts on that.
Yeah. I mean, I think for me, at least, I mean, when I look back at my competition photos and like the night before, I had to do my posing and stuff like that to check in with my coach, and I had to eat the extra food and see where everything went. I was still every single day at the gym, like even the morning of my show, like I said, still picking myself apart. And I think that's something that, one, you have to understand why you're doing whatever your goal is. Why are you doing that to begin with? Because once I like peeled some layers back after I competed and did all of those things, I'm like, okay, why did I want to compete, and why was that important to me? And I feel like I was always like an overweight kid and things like that, and I wanted to be like, impress people. Like, it really was to impress people. It wasn't for myself, I felt. So like, if that's your why, that's not going to get you closer to feeling better and more confident, because you're the only one that needs to be happy with your body. You don't need to hear it from anyone else. So I think like that, and then also just being more in tune with how you are with your body right now. And I just did a post about that too, of like, women specifically, probably not Joey, but women going in and body checking every single time you go into by a mirror, into the bathroom in the morning, and like, you're automatically like finding the, oh my God, my arms are like so flabby and like I feel so bloated and I feel like so fluffy and gross and we're so mean to ourselves. And that is not going to change unless you start changing it now in the body you're currently in. So like body positivity and body image, that all starts now. And then it just gets better when you feel better. You know what I mean? So I think you have to start challenging yourself if you're someone who has a really negative body image or talks really negatively, like challenge those thoughts and find something good in yourself. Because if all that internal dialogue is saying negative, negative, negative things all of the time, you're going to bring that with you even when you're your leanest that you can be. So it doesn't change. That never change your mindset and how you view your body. Even if I could snap my fingers and you lost 20 pounds overnight, you would still feel the same in your body. So I think like really working on your body image and how you're speaking to yourself is so important before you get to that weight or that body fat percentage, whatever it is, like that's so important to understand too.
Yeah, 100%. I talk with so many of my clients because I work with literally 99% women. I have one guy on my roster, and that's it. But
Wow. Didn't even know that.
yeah, so I talk so much with my clients about this of just like you're gonna be your own worst critic, and you're gonna pick out every part of your body that you don't necessarily like, even if you are improving, even if you are getting leaner. Like, there's all you can always find the part of your body that you like dislike the most, no matter how lean you are. So you're always gonna have that like fuel or that like piece of you that you can critique, and you feel like it's justified in your head, even if you are really lean and it's not justified. Like, you know, there's clients that I've had where I'm like, you look really lean. Like, I mean, you are achieving the body that you want, but they're still picking apart certain areas. And, you know, we all struggle with that to a certain extent. I don't think anybody, even the leanest fitness model out there, doesn't have like bad body image days sometimes. And like, I know, like, you know, a lot of people think men don't really experience that as much either, but like, I find myself too, like, grabbing, you know, the body fat in my stomach sometimes after a meal. And I'm like, you know, after a few days of eating more, I like touch that. And I'm like, oh, like that feels a little bit too much. And, you know, looking at myself in the mirror, like we all do, no matter like how advanced we are or no matter how long we've been doing this. But the goal is to tell ourselves more positive things about ourselves than we do negative. And over time, that, like, let's say if every day now you think of something negative regarding your body, the goal is over time, maybe it's every 3 days you have a negative thought about your body. And then, you know, as time goes on, it's every 7 days you have a negative thought. And then as time goes on, it's every, you know, 21 days. And then it's, you know, before you know it, hopefully with all that like mental and mindset work, it's like once every year, maybe you have a negative thought. And, you know, just expanding that time horizon of like how often you have those negative thoughts is really the goal. And like, you know, seeing yourself get leaner can help in some aspect of you feeling more confident, but there's always going to be somebody who's leaner than you, or there's always going to be somebody who looks more jacked than you, or you know, has a better, bigger glutes than you, which I hate too, because I have a small glutes myself as a guy. But like, there's always going to be somebody who has a little bit more of a physique you want. So if you're always comparing yourself, you're always gonna be critiquing yourself. So you have to learn to just like be confident in who you are throughout the process, and also realize the confidence you build doesn't come from just like what your appearance looks like. It comes from like the hard things that you do and accomplish, and you saying, oh, I'm going to do this. So you end up following through with it and following through with the promises that you make to yourself. Like, that's how like real confidence is built in a fitness journey. It's not how lean you end up getting.
100%. Yes, it's like doing the things you said you would do is what is going to build your confidence in anything, in your body, in whatever. You know, if you're telling yourself you're going to go work out and that's what you set for yourself, just do that one thing and that will build your confidence. So I think that's something everyone needs to work on before they even get to that leaner version of themselves, which, like we're saying, it's not impossible, but just shifting the expectation and working on that mindset and the confidence and how you view your body now, so you can feel like 100% when you do maybe reach that image you have in your head, and then just being okay with that not being forever and going into more of a reverse diet and focusing on building your strength and just adapting and pivoting and changing the goals that you have set for yourself.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, you can achieve that lean physique and that lean body, but just remember that the body that you actually feel the most fulfilled at, as far as being able to live your life and be confident, probably has a little bit more body fat than that dream physique that you actually, like, in your head want to achieve has. So we're coming up probably like an hour. I don't know, because of the technical difficulty and like restarting. But we're probably at an hour, so I don't want to take up too much more of your time. But where can like everybody find you, Kat, like on social media, Instagram, wherever, anything that you have like going on that you want to like promote or whatever, like throw it out there. But how can people find you if they want to kind of follow your journey more?
Yeah, so I'm on Instagram. It's that.rd.cat. And then I also have a Facebook group, Mindset and Metabolic Restoration for Women. So you can join that. That's totally free. I do little challenges, lives, things like that in there. And in terms of working with me or anything like that, I do one-on-one coaching online. And I also, if you're in Pennsylvania, I do have an in-person location as well. And I actually am accepting insurance too. So a lot of different states actually can use insurance working with dietitians. So if you're interested, you can definitely reach out and find out a little bit more about that.
Awesome. Cool. Well, thanks so much for coming on, Kat. It was a really nice chat, and I'm sure I'll definitely probably have you on in the future too. So cool.
Happening.
Thanks for listening, everyone. And we will see you guys in the next one then.